and focused on the coffee machine. Let it go, Mel. Easy to say. Don't you ever think about her? Nate's hesitation confirmed her suspicion that, yes, he did sometimes think about Joanna. But she knew he wouldn't admit it, and sure enough, he shook his head. It was another life, another time. We were both kids. I've moved on, and so has she. She was married to another man for 2 decades. And I have a question about that. It was something that had been on her mind. Why does a woman stay with a man for 20 years, put up with all that crap, and then suddenly divorce him? I mean, if you stayed for 20 years, why not stay another 10? What made her suddenly snap? Why are you asking me? He moved to the counter and wiped the coffee machine. I'm no expert on relationships. But you're good with people. You understand people. And you always say you've got to look for the reason people do things. So why did she divorce him after 2 decades? Nate stacked clean cups. Probably one affair too many. That was my first assumption. But then I started thinking. She'd already put up with countless affairs, so it can't have been that. It must have been something else. Nate sighed. Do you want to tell me what you think it was, so we can end this conversation? I don't know. That's the thing. She frowned. I can't figure it out. I looked at all the news stuff again, tried to figure out what happened a year ago, but there's nothing. Maybe she just had enough. Nate smiled over her shoulder to a customer, and Mel knew the conversation was over. There would be no more talk about Joanna, not with Nate, at least. As usual, they'd had one of those conversations where she did all the talking, and he listened, but gave very little in the way of a response. She was still no closer to knowing what he was thinking. She headed to the office, sat down at the desk, and flicked to the news. There were pictures of the press outside of Joanna's house, and speculation that she was no longer even staying there. No one seemed to know where she was. Mel sighed, switched to the spreadsheet she'd been working on the day before, and tried to ignore the pull of regret that tugged at her insides. Wherever Joanna was, she hoped she was doing okay. Chapter 8. Joanna. Joanna gripped the wheel of the unfamiliar vehicle. She was going back. Having said she'd never do it, having put the past behind her, she was going back. It was a logical decision. She owned a house in Silver Point. There was no reason why she shouldn't stay there for a while. She felt a moment of sick dread and reasoned with herself. How could the memories of her old life possibly be worse than the realities of her current one? And she wasn't going back to the past, not really. For a start, her stepmother wasn't there. Neither was the old Otter's Nest. The rotten planks and the corners, cracks, and creaks of the original beach house were gone. Now there were only the memories, and she wasn't going to think about those. Never call me Mom. I'm not your mom. Joanna had only made that mistake once, in the early days. Denise had made it clear that although she was married to Joanna's father, she wasn't and never would be Joanna's mother. She'd never wanted maternal responsibility. She'd wanted Joanna's father, and Joanna had been an unwanted added extra. Her last encounter with Denise had been one of the worst moments of her life. Joanna registered pain in her hands and realized she was gripping the wheel so tightly she was restricting blood flow. Releasing the wheel with one hand and then the other, she flexed her fingers. How would the inhabitants of Silver Point feel about her return? No doubt there would be a ripple of trepidation, but since Joanna had no intention of mixing with the local community, that didn't matter. She would do what she did best, lie low. She'd live the way she'd been living in L.A., only this time she had the view, the beach that nestled at the foot of her property, and a higher chance of privacy. And she was going to need privacy, thanks to her most recent decision. You think I made bad decisions in the past, Denise? Wait until you see what I've done this time. In the passenger seat next to her, the girl shifted. I still can't believe you're doing this. Joanna couldn't believe she was doing it either. Well, I am. I keep waiting for you to throw me out on a street corner. I'm not throwing you anywhere, Ashley. It was too late for that. She'd made her decision, and now she had to live with it. I don't know why you're being nice to me. I was in the car with your husband. Ex-husband. Damn you, Cliff. Suppressing her anger, Joanna kept her eyes fixed on the road. But you have no reason to help me. Joanna wished she'd stop talking. Do you have anyone else who could help you? There was a long silence. No. Ashley's voice sounded smaller. I was trying to help myself. That's what adults do, isn't it? She made it sound as if she'd recently accepted a new role and was trying it on for size. There's nothing wrong with accepting help, Ashley. So you're doing this because... why? Why was she doing this? I feel sympathy for your situation. I know what it's like to have your privacy invaded, and I know what it's like to feel alone. I want you to know you're not alone. Joanna wasn't sure that was the whole reason, but it was enough for now. The moment she'd seen Ashley's face on the TV, she'd known they were going to have to somehow disappear, even if it was only temporary. And she was realistic about their chances of evading the press for long. Then it would at least give them time to breathe, think, and plan. Ashley wriggled, trying to get comfortable. You're nothing like I thought you'd be. Did you really climb over the wall at the back of your house? Yes. It was past midnight, and she wasn't in her own car. But still, Joanna checked her mirror. Traffic out of the city was heavy, even in the early hours of the morning. But it didn't seem that anyone was following her. She allowed herself a fleeting moment of triumph. This time she'd beaten them. The knowledge made her feel a little more in control. Joanna silently thanked Nessa and her mechanic brother for their generosity. Hiring a car would have created a trail. Borrowing one from Nessa's brother seemed like the best option. No hurry to return it, Nessa had said as she handed over the keys. But I want to hear from you regularly. Otherwise, I'll worry. Joanna planned to speak to her frequently. She still had a job to do, but for the foreseeable future, she'd be doing it remotely. So you borrowed a car from a colleague and parked it away from your house so no one saw it, dressed all in black, climbed over a wall, left the lights burning in your house so they'd think you were still in it, and then you sneaked through the woods behind your house with just a flashlight? This is like being in an action movie. Not really. It was her life. Her life. How had she been reduced to climbing over walls and hiding? I almost broke my ankle twice trying to navigate my way through the trees in the dark. Weren't you scared? A little. Should she admit that the alternative, staying, had scared her more? But you did it anyway. That's brave. Doing all that in the dark on your own? You're like an assassin or something. It sounded so ridiculous, Joanna almost smiled. Are you always this dramatic? No, but I've never played a starring role in an escape movie before. Oh, I was dreading having to confront those photographers. I did exactly what you told me to do. I told the nurses my friend was picking me up. I took the elevator to the first floor, changed in that bathroom you found. My heart was going crazy the whole time. The wig was a good idea, although I kept waiting for someone to put a hand on my shoulder and say, Ashley, why do you suddenly have brown hair? Joanna's heart was going crazy, too. When was the girl going to stop talking? Well, it worked out fine. Thanks to you. Can I take the wig off now? Yes. Joanna knew Ashley was chattering because she was nervous, and she sympathized. She was nervous, too. Nervous about going back to Silver Point. Nervous that bringing Ashley with her on this trip might turn out to be another bad decision among the many she'd made in her life. But what choice had she had? She discovered that she was gripping the wheel again. Pregnant. The girl hardly seemed able to care for herself, let alone another person. But she wasn't going to think about that now. Her head was so full of things she wasn't going to think about, it was a wonder it didn't explode. She glanced at Ashley and saw curly blonde hair and big blue eyes. Oh, Cliff. Is there someone you'd like to call? I forgot to ask whether you have your phone or whether it was lost in the accident. I lost it, but then someone found it and the police returned it to me. But there's no one I need to call. Are you comfortable? There's a pillow on the back seat if you want to close your eyes for a while. You should sleep. Please sleep. She needed thinking time. This was the first opportunity she'd had to focus on herself without worrying who was watching her. At some point, of course, she was going to have to think about Ashley, figure out what to do next, but that wasn't her priority. I'm not tired. Also, I hurt all over, so sleeping isn't easy. Ashley shifted in her seat, trying to get comfortable. Sleeping hadn't been easy for Joanna either. The moment she lay down, the past played out in front of her. She couldn't stop thinking about the choices she'd made and berating herself. The past few weeks had been the most emotionally exhausting of her life, and the loneliest. Not one person in her social circle had reached out to her. Acquaintances, she would never again refer to them as friends. People who had enjoyed her company in happier times didn't want to come near her now and risk finding themselves in the spotlight, or worse, having to defend her against the judgment brigade. She thought that getting away from the city would help, but now she was doubting that decision. She could leave the media behind, but not her emotions. Silver Point? Really, Joanna? She was gripped by a moment of extreme doubt and had an uncharacteristic urge to seek reassurance from someone, anyone. She opened her mouth, glanced at Ashley, and then closed it again. She'd climbed into Cliff's car, which didn't say much for her judgment. Technically, she should hate this girl. Her presence was yet another slap in the face, a reminder of Cliff's transgressions. There was a child. What were you thinking, Cliff? And what was she thinking? Cliff's mistakes weren't hers. Even if they were still married, even thinking of that made her clench her jaw. His mistake wouldn't have been hers. She was not responsible for his actions. But a child didn't deserve to suffer because of Cliff. And she had the means to offer support. Financially, she could help. Emotionally? She felt something tear open inside her. She thought back to the baby she'd lost. She'd wanted a child so badly. And to think that Cliff... She closed her mind down. She wasn't going to think about that now. She didn't need another assault on her emotional resources. She needed to hold it together. Ashley turned her head. Do you think they're looking for me, those reporters? Yes. She saw no reason to lie or soften the truth. You were smart to tell me to wait by the entrance to the ER. That place was heaving with people. No one was paying any attention to me, and there were no photographers or anything. I checked. It helped that the staff kept moving me. I didn't know where I was half the time, so why would anyone else? I still don't know why you're doing this for me. Ashley glanced at her. But I figured, even if you're kidnapping me, at least it's a place to stay, right? Joanna's head started to throb. I'm not kidnapping you, Ashley. You think I'm being dramatic, but from where I'm sitting, you're helping the woman who was in the car with your man. And that's kind of unexpected. People don't do things like that. She gripped the wheel tightly. He wasn't my man. He hadn't been my man in a long time. She kept her eyes forward. It had been years since she'd traveled this road, years since she'd ventured north. She'd spent most of her adult life moving forward, but now she was going back. How would it feel being there? Not like going home, because the Central Californian coast hadn't been her home in 2 decades. Nor like being a tourist, because a tourist would freely explore the area, walk into local stores, buy an ice cream without looking over her shoulder, offer cheerful greetings to the locals. Joanna wouldn't be doing any of that, even though her family had been part of Silver Point for more than 3 generations. Otter's Nest had originally belonged to her grandfather, Walter Rafferty. A moderately successful artist, Walter had inherited a small amount of money from a source that had never been confirmed. Rumor had it that he'd saved someone's life, but Joanna's father had said that, given the man never did anything for anyone, that was unlikely. Whatever the origin of the money, he'd bought a tired, weather-beaten beach house with stunning views over the deep blue Pacific Ocean. The place was shielded by forest, which had suited Walter, who was, by all accounts, an antisocial, moody individual. He'd chosen the place because it was just far enough out of town to deter casual visitors, because it had a spectacular garden with a proliferation of roses and fruit trees, and he preferred plants to people, and because it had direct access to a stretch of beach that was otherwise inaccessible. He spent most of his time outdoors and had almost no interest in the house itself, which explained its gradual deterioration. Joanna's father had once told her that Walter had married his wife, Joanna's grandmother, not because he fell in love, but because he needed a woman to rescue Otter's Nest before it crumbled into the ocean. Her grandmother had set about scrubbing, cleaning, fixing, and generally making the place more habitable, not because she was keen to obey her grumpy spouse, but because she refused to live somewhere that looked as if it might fall down at any moment. As a child, Joanna had been unaware of how valuable this parcel of land was. To her, it was home, and the home wasn't fancy. It had been left to her when her father died, a generous gesture that had extinguished any last hope she had of one day building a relationship with her stepmother. Even after she'd left, she hadn't had the option to sell the place because Denise was still living in it. Would she have sold it right away if that hadn't been the case? Maybe. The house was layered with memories. The distant ones were good, but they'd been overshadowed by what came after. She'd ignored the problem, and then 5 years earlier, her stepmother had announced that she'd had enough of living somewhere so far from town. She'd moved into a small house near Carmel by the Sea, leaving Otter's Nest uninhabited. Joanna had received numerous offers from people hungry to exploit the advantages of that particular piece of land, but she didn't want to sell. She'd thought about Walter pruning his fruit trees and her father starting every day with a swim in the ocean. Instead of selling, she hired an architect. The development had been costly in both money and time, but eventually a new beach house was completed, a contemporary masterpiece, blending sympathetically with its surroundings, exploiting all that was special about the landscape. She knew instinctively that her father would have approved, even though all that was left of the original Otter's Nest was the name. For all its appeal, Joanna had never stayed there herself. She'd employed a company to manage it and occasionally to rent it out. It was a business decision. But coming back now wasn't business. It was personal. She'd sleep in the bedroom with its wall of floor-to-ceiling glass overlooking the ocean. She'd sip her morning coffee on the terrace, sheltered from the outside world by towering trees. She'd walk barefoot on the heated stone floors, relax in the tub with its view over the garden, and follow the narrow sandy path that led the short distance to the beach. Otter's Nest was far from the worn and weathered bungalow that had been her home growing up. Now it was a premium property on a coastline known for premium properties. But it was still a beach house, and in huge demand despite the eye-watering rental costs. She'd called the agent a few days earlier and asked them to cancel all reservations and make the place ready because she was loaning it to a friend. They'd probably figure out that she was intending to use it herself, which was another reason she wasn't confident that their whereabouts would remain a secret for long. Cliff would have laughed at her attempts to regain a degree of privacy. Privacy, anonymity, had been his idea of hell. She was one of the few people, perhaps the only person, who had understood the depths of Cliff's insecurity. He needed 5 portions of praise a day to survive, and more to truly thrive. When things were going well, he bounced through the door with a megawatt smile, energized by the positive attention. He was his own weather system, on a high 1 minute and in a depression the next. If ratings of his show were down or the restaurants weren't booked out weeks in advance, his mood would change from sunny to volcanic. She'd been drawn to the sunny and then learned to live with the other side of him. No one was perfect, were they? She definitely wasn't perfect, as her stepmother had frequently pointed out.
"This place we're going?" Ashley turned her head and looked at her. "You own it?"
"Yes, I grew up there." Why had she told her that? Now there would be questions, and she didn't want to answer questions.
"You have family there?"
"Denise?" "No." Her hands were hurting again, and she released her grip on the wheel slightly. "No family."
"So it would just be us?"
"Yes, just us." How was she going to handle that? She wasn't going to be alone, was she? She had Ashley. Ashley, who couldn't stop talking. Ashley, who had been in the car with Cliff.
Ashley, who was a complication Joanna had yet to address. Ashley, who was pregnant. The sharp rip had become an ache in the center of her chest, but it clearly wasn't visible because Ashley kept talking.
Is it in the middle of nowhere?
I wouldn't describe it as nowhere. We don't have immediate neighbors. Joanna turned off the main highway and headed toward the coast. The road curved alongside the ocean, and through the darkness, she could pick out the shadow of jagged rock, the flash of white as the waves rolled in, and the spray as it erupted onto the shore. She stopped in Santa Barbara just long enough to breathe in the salt air and stretch her tired limbs. When she returned to the car, she saw that Ashley was finally asleep, her head nestled deep in the pillow. Relieved, Joanna reached into the back of the car and grabbed the blanket she'd packed. Careful not to wake her, she tucked it around the sleeping girl and then reached into her backpack and pulled out a flask. She poured herself a cup of the strong coffee she'd made earlier. There was no one else around. In this moment, it was just her, the darkness, the whip of the wind, and the crash of the wild ocean. The sound made her think of her father, and it comforted her. Denise hadn't been a swimmer. She'd complained about the salt in her hair and the sand on her skin. The sea had been the one place Joanna had her father to herself. It had been just the two of them, laughing, splashing. She'd spent more time on the small beach below Otter's Nest than she had in the house. She loved to swim, to feel the cold ocean close over her sun-warm skin and stiffen her hair with salt. Even now, to plunge into the water was to plunge into happiness. She stared at the water now, remembering. Once, she'd had a life here. This had been her place. And then she'd tossed it to the wind and taken off without looking back. She'd been running away. And she was doing the same now, wasn't she? Running from the press, running from Cliff's memory, running from her life. Was she ever going to live a life where she wasn't running? Her eyes pricked with tiredness. Despite the coffee, her head felt foggy. It had been a long couple of weeks, and then there had been the funeral a few days before. More cameras, more questions, the exhausting, never-ending attention from people who didn't know her or care about her. But now she could put that behind her. Soon she'd be safe behind the gates of Otter's Nest. How many memories would be waiting for her? That was something else she hadn't allowed herself to think about. Mel and Greg. Nate. No, she couldn't, wouldn't think about Nate. Not yet. She swallowed the last mouthful of her coffee and tucked the flask back into her backpack. With a last look at the ocean, she slid back into the car and continued north, winding her way up the coast, until dawn sent spikes of color across the darkened sky. It had been years, and yet she knew this last stretch of the journey so well. Each curve in the road, the sight of towering redwoods, the dramatic plunge of steep cliffs. And then there it was, the turning to Otter's Nest, concealed from view between tall trees. There was no sign, nothing to indicate the presence of such an extraordinary property, an intentional security measure rather than an oversight. And if you didn't already know exactly where it was, you'd miss the turning. Joanna knew. She turned onto the private access road, following it until she reached a set of large gates. They added another layer of privacy. From this angle, you still couldn't see the beach house. She pressed the button and the gates swung open, revealing another sweep of driveway studded by small solar lights. The gates closed behind her, and she parked in front of the house. Ashley was still asleep, so Joanna took advantage of the moment to take her first proper look at Otter's Nest. From here, the place looked unassuming, but that didn't concern her. She knew that all the wow factor would be at the front. The house was built into the slope, the design making the most of space, light, and the incredible ocean views. She unlocked the door, turned off the alarm, and slid off her shoes. She stood for a moment, braced and wary. She waited for the memories to come for her, like an intruder lying in wait, waited for the past to slide stealthily back into her present. but there was nothing. She felt nothing. Flooded with relief, she felt her muscles relax. She'd been dreading this moment, but it was obvious to her now that painful memories had been destroyed along with the original home. Rotten wood, cracked glass, bitter memories, everything had been removed. There were no reminders, not a trace of familiarity, except for the land itself and the beach, of course. Always the beach. She walked into the living room, saw the glint of sunlight on the ocean through the expanse of glass, and gave a sigh of pleasure because the new building was every bit as spectacular as she'd known it would be. The room curved a full 180 degrees, and floor-to-ceiling windows ensured a ringside seat for sunrise and sunset. Huge sliding doors opened onto the terrace and the garden, and there, right in front of her, was the path that led to the beach. It was far enough away to protect the house from the lick and surge of the tide, but close enough to make you feel as if you could reach out and touch it. The crescent beach at Otter's Nest was protected on both sides by the curve of the land and rocks. She'd be able to sit there without being seen. She'd be able to swim in the sea, watch whales and dolphins. And yes, there would definitely be memories there. Her father. Nate. Joanna? Ashley's voice came from the doorway. I didn't know where you were, so I didn't want to wake you. Enough of the past. She had the present to think about. We should go straight to bed and get some proper sleep. We can talk in the morning. But it's morning now. The sun is coming up. Joanna had been driving for half the night. She was emotionally and physically exhausted. She needed to close a door between her and Ashley, this problem she'd chosen to bring home with her. She needed space. I'll show you to your room. The bathroom should be stocked with everything you need. I hope you'll be comfortable. Even though she'd never stayed here, she knew the house, and she led Ashley up the curb staircase to the guest suite. This place is like a 5-star hotel, Ashley muttered as she followed her into the bedroom. Joanna pressed a button next to the bed and closed the blinds and flicked on the bedside light. The bathroom is through that door, and my bedroom is across the hallway.
Sure.
Thanks. Ashley hesitated.
You seem really stressed. Are you okay?
The fact that she'd noticed told Joanna that she was losing her usually firm grip on control.
I'm fine. I hope you sleep well. Call me if you need anything. Joanna, I'm fine.
Joanna backed away.
Get some rest. There'll be plenty of time to talk.
She urged the girl into the room and closed the door quietly. Instead of going to the master suite, she walked back down to the kitchen and opened the fridge. It was fully stocked, as she'd requested. She opened cupboards, checking that they'd delivered what she'd asked. There was enough food to ensure that she wouldn't have to leave the place for at least a week, maybe two. After that, well, she'd face that problem later. Exhaustion made her feel shivery and cold, but she knew she wouldn't be able to sleep. Her mind was like a drone, gliding over 2 decades of her life and more, sending inconvenient snapshots. She grabbed a sweater and stepped out onto the terrace. The house might have changed, but the view hadn't, and neither had the scents. Lavender and rose, the sharp hint of pine mingling with salt spray from the ocean below. She followed the path to the beach, but instead of walking onto the sand, she scrambled up onto one of the rocks that sheltered the bay. It was still early. No one would see her, because no one would be looking for her here. Not yet. She hugged her knees against her chest and gazed at the water. Beyond the level of the rocks, the swirl of currents made the water dangerous. Guests using the place were advised to sunbathe only and use the pool or the main beach at Silver Point for swimming and water fun. But Joanna had no intention of doing that. She had grown up here. She knew the risks, and she was a strong swimmer. She stretched out her legs, enjoying the early morning sun. At this time of day, she didn't have to worry about burning. At school, she'd been teased for her freckles, but she'd never cared because her dad had always told her that they were fairy dust and only given to special people. He'd had the same dusting, as faint as a sprinkling of sand. And after he died, she used to look in the mirror and imagine that a part of him had landed on her. It made her feel closer to him, knowing she was carrying them around. She stared down at the white-capped ocean that swirled and smashed against the rocks, sending spray flying high. Often the view was blurred by the milky layer of marine fog that blanketed the California coastline in the early summer mornings, but today was clear and sunny. She glanced behind her towards the main beach that stretched the length of Silver Point and saw a small figure far in the distance running on the beach. Mel? Her heart thumped, and she slid down from the rock, scraping her leg in the process. What had she done? Had she just given herself away? No. No one would have recognized her from that distance, particularly when they weren't expecting her to be there. She was just a woman sitting on the rock. She could be anyone. Joanna tried to calm the panic that churned inside her. Just because she and Mel had run on the beach together almost every morning didn't mean her old friend still kept to the same routine. She felt a pang of nostalgia. Mel had been her best friend, the person she trusted most in the world. But Mel was Nate's twin sister, which had made everything impossible. Joanna had looked her up the week before, unable to resist the pull from the past. She'd found out that Mel still lived here, which hadn't come as a surprise. She was now married to Greg, which wasn't a surprise either. They had a daughter, Eden, and Joanna had felt a pang, remembering the times they talked about raising their families together. They'd be in and out of each other's gardens, enjoying backyard barbecues and beach picnics, Mel and Greg, Joanna and Nate. Nate. She felt a sting of sadness and headed back up the path to the beach house. She wasn't going to think about Nate, and she didn't need to worry about bumping into him because she had no intention of strolling into town or eating on the deck of the surf cafe. She'd keep her life small and quiet because she'd learned that it was better that way. In all the words that had been written about her, there was one thing the press had missed. She was, quite possibly, the loneliest woman in the world. Chapter 9. Ashley. Ashley woke to the sound of waves breaking on rock. A cool breeze wafted through the window. She lay there, groggy and disorientated, and then remembered where she was, Joanna Whitman's beach house. The bed was ridiculously comfortable, and the pillow so soft, it was like sleeping on a cloud. After nights of shifting restlessly on a hard, unyielding hospital bed, her skin irritated by rough sheets, this bed felt like something out of a fantasy. But the rest of it? That was more like a horror movie, and the big twist was yet to come. She wanted to postpone the moment. She wanted to stay right here, cocooned in luxury, and pretend she was on vacation. She didn't want to have to wake up properly and face her problems. She wished she'd never come to L.A. She wished she'd never met Cliff. She wished she'd never climbed into his car or said what she'd said. But as her mother always taught her, there was no point in wishing for things you couldn't change. You just had to get on with it and make the best choice you could. Ashley's current best choice would have been to stick her head under the pillow and stay there, but that would be cowardly, wouldn't it? Also, rude. What would her mother have said if she could see her now, with Joanna Whitman? You were sleeping so deeply, I didn't want to wake you, but I thought you should probably get back to some sort of normal sleep pattern. Joanna placed a tray on the table by the open doors. Ashley saw now why she'd heard the ocean and felt the breeze. While she'd been sleeping, Joanna had lifted the blinds and opened the doors. Those doors led directly onto a terrace bordered by a profusion of colorful plants and flowers. How great would it be to be able to enjoy this without feeling guilty and anxious about everything? She had so many decisions to make, so many pieces of information to process. She'd had one plan, talk to Cliff. That hadn't gone the way she'd hoped it would. Of all the scenarios she'd imagined in her head, the one that had never featured was that she might actually kill him. Not that she'd tugged the wheel and landed them in that ravine or anything. But if she'd never met him, been more careful, hadn't chosen that exact moment to tell him about the pregnancy, Cliff Whitman was dead because of her. The thought left her feeling weak and shaky. The police had questioned her and been satisfied with her answers. Cliff was single. She wasn't underage. There was no reason why she shouldn't have been in his car. Her choices might be questionable, but they weren't illegal. It was ruled to be an unfortunate accident. Ashley forced herself to sit up. Her life had been full of unfortunate accidents. I made you something to eat. Joanna picked up the tray and put it on the bed next to Ashley. You look pale. Are you feeling terrible? Joanna stacked pillows behind her as if she was a child, and the unexpected kindness brought a lump to her throat. She felt horribly undeserving of such generosity from this woman. Why are you being so nice to me? You must hate me. Joanna straightened the bed covers. I don't hate you. She would, Ashley thought, if she knew the details. And it made her feel bad, because she knew so much more about Joanna than Joanna knew about her. Guilt gnawed at her insides. She didn't like holding all these secrets inside her. Could the baby sense them? Was it having a dose of anguish along with its mother? She wanted to relax. She wanted to be calm. She wanted to tell Joanna everything. But how could she? If she'd known that being an adult was this hard, she wouldn't have been in such a hurry to grow up. And now she had no choice. She pressed her hand to her flat belly and mentally promised her baby that although she hadn't been the best mother up to this point, she was going to do better. You should eat something. There's fresh melon, berries, and... Joanna settled the tray on Ashley's legs. What's wrong? Nothing. Ashley forced the voice from her thickened throat. Why was she so emotional? She had to stop. She had to think about the baby. She felt the bed shift as Joanna sat down. Are you feeling unwell? I can call a doctor. No. Ashley didn't want a doctor. She wanted to start her life over without all the lies and mistakes. And because the guilt and anxiety was too huge to contain, it finally spilled over. I wish I'd never got into his car. I wish I'd never met him. Joanna reached across and pulled a tissue from the box by the bed. You're not the first woman to feel that way about Cliff, I assure you. She handed Ashley the tissue, and she took it, mortified. Did you? About a million times. Joanna gave a wry smile. Try and forget it for now. I suspect you're very tired, and being tired always makes things seem worse. My mom used to say that. She used to tell me that good sleep was one of the most important things a person could do for themselves. She was always telling me to stop looking at my phone, stop messaging friends in the middle of the night. Thinking about her mother made Ashley feel worse, so she tried to stop that too. There were so many things she couldn't think about. She was struggling to find a safe topic. Joanna hesitated. I'm sorry you lost her. Ashley was sorry, too. She was sorry for a lot of things. It's been tough. Not that I'm making excuses or anything, but I've had a totally crap year. Joanna said nothing, and Ashley felt mortified. Joanna's year had been crap, too. In fact, much of her life had been crap. How must she be feeling? She'd seemed really stressed on the drive. Ashley had seen her gripping the steering wheel until her fingers went white and exhaling slowly as if she was having to work hard to keep herself under control. Was she still grieving for Cliff? The whole divorce thing had to make it complicated, didn't it? And the affairs. Still, 20 years. Ashley couldn't get her head around all the emotions that could be locked inside Joanna. Joanna stood up. Why don't you stop thinking for a while, eat some breakfast, and then join me on the terrace? Yes, sure. She wanted to say the right thing, but she didn't know what that was. It was impossible to know what Joanna was thinking. Do you read? Read? You mean
Books?
Joanna smiled. Yes, books. There's a library downstairs. It's the door next to the kitchen.
You have your own library?
Yes. I love books, reading them and looking at them.
They were dealing with huge issues, and they were talking about books?
I read, well, used to read, not so much lately.
Her concentration was shot. She was having a baby. Cliff wasn't going to help her.
So, are we going to talk?
Eventually. But I think what we both need more than anything right now is a rest. Don't you?
Eat something and then join me by the pool.
There's a pool? With the ocean a few steps away?
Joanna smiled. The ocean is cold. Not everyone likes that.
Library, pool, terrace, beach. Ashley hadn't dipped her toe in water yet, but already she felt out of her depth.
I don't have that many clothes.
You won't need many. We won't be entertaining. My plan is that we stay here for the next couple of weeks to give us both time to breathe and figure out what to do next. Come and find me when you're ready.
Next? She was making it sound as if they were a team, bonded by their situation. But Ashley knew the only thing holding them together was Cliff. Cliff was dead, so where did that leave her?
Joanna left the room, and Ashley stared at the rest of the breakfast without enthusiasm. She wasn't hungry, but she needed to eat because of the baby. She forced down a single mouthful, and then gave up and headed to the bathroom. There was a large bath positioned in front of a large window with a view of the garden, but Ashley opted instead for the shower. It took her a few minutes to figure out the controls, and then she stood under the hot spray for a long time, washing away the reminders of her hospital stay. Her bruises were fading, and she ached a little less each day. She lathered her hair, soaped her skin from head to foot, and rested her hand on her abdomen. Did she feel a little bump, or was that her imagination? How soon would she start to show? Her head was full of questions. She was horrified and embarrassed by how ignorant she was.
I'm sorry to be so clueless.
She talked to the baby, although if it could hear her, then that would mean it had heard other things and was probably already scarred by the world awaiting it outside the protection of her body.
I'll do better. I promise.
And she meant it. She was all the baby had. She was everything, so she had to be everything. And she would. She'd be loving, but also truthful, no matter how hard it was. She wasn't going to let this baby down. She needed a plan, but that started with Joanna. She didn't understand why Joanna was helping her, but Cliff was gone, so there would be no help coming from that direction. Right now, she'd take anything she could get. For a split second, she was back in the car, in those few moments between her telling him and him reacting to the news. She knew she'd never forget the look in his eyes or the words he'd spoken. Ashley turned off the shower and forced herself to push the memory away. This wasn't the time to relive the trauma of the accident. She needed to focus on now, this moment, and the future. She wrapped herself in one of the large, soft towels stacked on the glass shelf and dried her hair. She delved into her bag to find clean clothes and saw her phone. She hadn't touched it since the police had handed it over. Heart thudding, she switched it on. 10 voicemail messages. She swallowed and turned the phone off again. She wasn't ready for that yet. One step at a time. Burying the phone under a shirt, she pulled out jeans and a clean top. Both still fitted her, although she wasn't sure how long that would last. Feeling self-conscious, she left the bedroom and headed downstairs. It was impossible not to look around, and what struck her wasn't the jaw-dropping design or the luxury touches, but the fact that there was nothing personal on show. It was like staying in a hotel, not that Ashley would know because they'd never had the money for hotels. Part of her wanted to sneak a look into some of the other rooms, including the master bedroom and the library Joanna had mentioned, but she had a feeling they wouldn't tell her anything about the owner. Like most people who read the popular press, she thought she knew Joanna Whitman, but it turned out she was a bit of a mystery. She owned this incredible place, and yet she'd never stayed here.
In her position, Ashley would have never left. She would have spent every night in that delicious cocoon of a bed, and all her daylight hours ravenously devouring the view. She passed the living room and saw deep, comfortable sofas and a large fireplace. A low table was stacked with art books and a sculpture. It was sophisticated, grown up. Ashley thought about the sofa at home, with its worn patches that her mother had mended and mended and then given up mending. She thought about how hard her mother had struggled to keep everything together after her dad had died. The hours on her feet, the snatched meals eaten standing up, the permanent frown, the falling asleep on the sofa.
Can we go and play, Mommy?
Not now. I have to work. At 16, Ashley had worked too. She'd got a job in the local pizza restaurant, waiting tables. She'd learned to ignore the complainers, the diners who ordered and then changed their minds and blamed her, the mean tippers, and the men who hit on her. She ignored the long hours, the way her legs ached after a long day standing, the way her cheeks hurt from smiling when she didn't want to smile. She was working for a purpose, and that purpose was money. She gave most of her earnings to her mother and put the rest into her college fund. It was depressingly small, but it was hers, and it was something. When she wasn't working, she was studying. She didn't have a dollar to her name that she hadn't earned by being on her feet. She thought about Cliff, but thinking of him made her feel as if someone had her heart in a vise, so she stopped. She decided that one day she wanted to live in a place like this, in a home that she actually owned, a place that didn't constantly show you its shortcomings. Most of all, she wanted to have enough money so that she didn't have to work every hour of every day, so she didn't have to constantly tell her child she was too busy. The glass doors were open onto the terrace, and Ashley could see Joanna sitting on one of the loungers by the pool. She was wearing shorts and oversized sunglasses, and her hair fell loose over her shoulders like flames. She looked like a rare, exotic bird, and Ashley wished she had half her quiet elegance. Joanna had a book on her lap, but she wasn't reading. She appeared to be staring out across the ocean, and Ashley couldn't blame her for that, because she'd never seen a view like it. If she owned this place, she would have never left it. But maybe when you were rich, fancy properties and incredible views were something you took for granted. Or maybe there were other reasons Joanna wasn't reading. Was it being back here? Or was it because Ashley was with her? She strolled onto the terrace.
It's stunning here.
There, she sounded confident, not at all as if her insides were quaking with nerves.
Thank you for breakfast. Did you cook the pastries?
No, I don't cook. I arranged for the place to be stocked with food before our arrival.
Well, they were delicious.
Why didn't Joanna cook? Presumably because Cliff had done all the cooking for her.
Did you find everything you needed? Was your room comfortable?
It was perfect. The shower was great. A bit like getting caught in a heavy rainstorm. At home, I have to stand there while it tries to choke out a few drops. It felt surreal, standing here by an idyllic pool, surrounded by the scents of summer, with the vivid blue of the Pacific Ocean just steps away, and only Joanna Whitman for company. What was she supposed to do? Should she stand up? Sit down? In the end, she sat on the lounger next to Joanna's. She'd perched on the edge, which gave her the option of standing suddenly if she needed to. She had no idea how this conversation was going to go. Once she told Joanna the truth, she'd probably be on the next bus back to the city, or maybe she'd be walking. She eyed the pool. It would have been great to swim, but maybe the people who used this place didn't actually get wet. Maybe the pool was an accessory, something to admire while they basked in the California sunshine, sipped margaritas, and kept their hair dry. Sunlight glinted on the water, and the breeze sent a ripple of movement across the surface. It looked tranquil and inviting. She had to keep reminding herself that she wasn't on vacation. Joanna lowered her book.
You're welcome to swim if you'd like to.
Was she that obvious?
I'm fine. I'm sure I can find you a swimsuit.
There's a closet on the first floor full of new clothes and equipment. If something fits, use it.
Ashley stared longingly at the water and then shook her head.
Maybe later. Thanks.
Did Joanna not think this was weird? She was treating Ashley like a guest when she should be treating her like the enemy.
Joanna was watching her through those large sunglasses that hid most of her face.
You said you'd had a bad year. You must miss your mother. Were you close?
Yes. Was that true? A year ago, Ashley would have said that yes, they were close, but that was before.
Could you consider yourself close to someone who kept things from you? What other bombshells would have emerged if her mother was still alive?
Ashley had a whole lot of questions and no way of getting the answers.
My dad died when I was 12, so it's been the two of us since then. There was no reason not to tell Joanna that.
Tell me about your dad. What did he do?
It always struck Ashley as a strange question, as if what you did for a living defined who you were as a person. If you were what you did, then right now, she was no one.
His name was David. He was a mechanic. He could fix pretty much anything. But that wasn't who he was to Ashley. To her, he was the man who taught her to change a tire and grow tomatoes in the backyard. He'd been obsessed with the outdoors and taken her hiking every weekend. They'd hiked long distances, and she'd sometimes struggled to keep up with him. Whenever she thought she couldn't do something, he pushed her harder.
"Don't you quit, Ashley Blake," he'd yelled when she'd sat down on the edge of the trail, too tired to carry on. "Don't you ever give up. Even if your feet are tired and your legs are aching, you keep going, one step at a time."
She wondered now if he'd really been talking about hiking, or if he'd been showing her a way forward through the tough parts of life. One step at a time. He'd also taught her to always tell the truth and never borrow money. What he hadn't taught her was what to do when her back was against the wall. What happened to morality when you were desperate? What would he say if he could see her now? If he'd seen her climbing into the car with Cliff?
"I'm sorry, Dad."
"Do you have any other family?"
"No."
So that was it. Joanna wanted to get rid of her. "Don't worry. As soon as I can, I'll be out of your hair."
"You shouldn't rush anywhere. Let the interest in you die down."
Would that happen?
"I still don't know how those photographers found out I was pregnant. Do you think they'll come here?"
Joanna slid a bookmark into the book and closed it carefully.
"Almost certainly," she said. "But hopefully, it will take them a little while to figure out where you are. Because the last place anyone would look for her was with Joanna Whitman."
"So you grew up here, and then you built this amazing place, but you never came back until now?"
"That's right. If I owned it, I'd never leave."
She tilted her head and felt the hot sun in her face.
"All you can hear is the sea and the birds, and it's private. From the road, you wouldn't even guess there was a beach house here."
She'd never been to a place like this before. It was as if they were removed from the world outside, which, given everything that had happened, was a good thing. She should have felt relaxed, but she wasn't. There were too many issues unresolved, too many problems, and no solutions. And the biggest mystery of all was Joanna herself. She wasn't the way the media portrayed her. On TV, she rarely spoke, which made her seem like a doormat. But Ashley knew now that she wasn't a doormat. Joanna Whitman wasn't weak, she was private. She was strong and in control, but she did it in a quiet way, so that no one really noticed. Take now, for example.
"You beat them."
Ashley watched as a tiny bird swooped down and skimmed the surface of the pool. "All those photographers, reporters, people asking questions, you beat them."
"I've had experience."
It was sobering to think that this thing that was happening to her, this interest in her life, had been happening to Joanna for decades.
"They write stuff that isn't even true. Stuff about you. I don't know how you stand it."
"It was hard, particularly at the beginning." Joanna picked up a tube of sunscreen and squeezed some onto her palm. "I was about your age, I'd grown up here in a small town among people I'd known all my life. Funnily enough, I thought I was used to gossip, but it turned out I hadn't even dipped my toe in the water. I suppose the difference was that here, people actually knew me, whereas most people just know what they've read online. Ashley hadn't expected her to be so honest. She felt a little uncomfortable, because it wasn't as if they knew each other. Still, she was too fascinated not to probe for more. Maybe if she knew more, she might understand why Joanna had brought her here. "Did you like it at the beginning? I mean, fame and everything? Some people want that, don't they? Celebrity." She'd seen pictures on the internet, studied them. Cliff and Joanna. It was always Cliff and Joanna, never Joanna and Cliff, as if she was second in a hierarchy. Joanna hesitated. "I hated it." Something about the way she said the words made Ashley think she'd never spoken them aloud before. "Because you're a private person?" "Yes. I wanted to live my life in private, make my mistakes in private." Did she consider Cliff to be a mistake? Ashley tried to imagine him with Joanna. She wouldn't have put the two of them together, but what did she know? On the other hand, Joanna had divorced him, so maybe she knew more than she thought. "Whenever I saw him on TV, he seemed like someone who liked the attention." "You watched his shows?" Joanna glanced at her, and Ashley felt her heart beat faster. Were they approaching confession time? "Sometimes." She'd watched every single one. She'd studied him, paused the recording. He had this way of drawing people in. "Yes." Joanna gave her a long look, as if she was figuring something out. Ashley squirmed. "So, if you grew up here, you must still know people who live here. You want to see them?" "No." Joanna looked away. "There's no one I want to see." "Why? Are we hiding?" "You can come and go as you please. You're not a prisoner, Ashley. But I assumed you'd prefer some privacy while you rest and recuperate and figure out a plan." It sounded good, except she didn't have a plan. She didn't have a clue what to do next. Joanna poured a glass of water from a jug by her side. "Do you have a job, or are you in college?" "I've had a job since I was 16. She thought about Luigi, the owner of the pizza restaurant. He'd always been kind to her. The plan was to go to college, but my mom's medical bills were huge, and that's fine, she added quickly, because that was the priority, obviously. I worked when I could, and a neighbor came and sat with her." "Was her illness sudden?" "Yes, she had pneumonia, and it turned to septicemia." It still didn't seem real to her. How could someone be fine one minute and then dead the next? To begin with, they thought she'd recover. We talked about things we'd never talked about before. And she knew she'd never, ever forget that conversation. She had so many questions, so much still unresolved. And then she got worse. She was in intensive care for a few weeks, and then she died. It was a relief to finally talk about it to someone. There was only so much a person could hold inside, and she was already holding far too much. "That's so tough." Joanna's voice was gentle. "They said she should have recovered, but she didn't. The infection was too much, and her body couldn't handle it. It was the thing she'd struggled with the most. The randomness of life, the fact that you could be doing fine one minute and then dead the next. The shock had been so disorientating. It made me wonder what the point of planning is. I mean, my mom had plans. There was stuff she was going to do when I went off to college. We had our life all worked out. It was nothing earth-shaking, just small things, you know. But I was excited and she was excited." She probably shouldn't say any of these things to Joanna. But she needed to say them to someone. She'd been alone with her thoughts for too long, and Joanna was a good listener. Or maybe it was because she understood how it felt to have her life turned upside down. "What were you hoping to study?" "Excuse me?" Ashley's head was still stuck in the past. She could smell the hospital room, hear the sounds of the machines, and see her mother's pale face. "Which program did you choose?" "Oh." She forced herself back to the present. Computer science. I've always been good at it. My dad always joked that he was too old to understand it, so I needed to learn everything so that I could teach him. He'd fix my car, I'd fix his laptop, that kind of thing. After he died, I went on a summer program. I hoped he would have been proud that I did that.
Well, I'm sure he would.
And you enjoyed it?
Yeah. They taught me some HTML, CSS, some JavaScript. It was great. They had these really cool people talk to us, and they'd done interesting stuff. It was probably a good thing to do because I got my first choice of college.
She shrugged, embarrassed by how much she told Joanna, who was a stranger. But that might have been because I'm a girl.
Why would you say that?
Ashley picked at the corner of her fingernail. Because there aren't enough girls doing STEM subjects.
I'm sure that's not why you got a place. I'm sure it's because you're smart, and they were smart enough to see that. They saw potential.
Joanna paused.
There are plenty of people out there who will make you think you're not good enough, that you should think small, play it safe, be less than you're capable of being. The important thing is not to believe them. If there's something you badly want to do, if you have a dream, you owe it to yourself to give it a try.
Something in the way she said it made Ashley wonder if someone, at some point, had made Joanna feel she wasn't good enough.
Did you have a dream?
At your age? Joanna gave a quiet smile.
Yes. I wanted to work in a bookstore. I wanted to spend my days helping people choose exactly the right book for their mood. I found books such a comfort when I was growing up, and I wanted to help other people find that.
Ashley thought about the bookshelves she'd seen.
But you never did work in a bookstore?
No, and I regret that. I should have worked in a bookstore instead of waiting tables.
Because then she would have never met Cliff? Was that what she was saying?
She thought about Joanna's life. She'd been married to a celebrity, and her days and nights had seemed to be an endless round of red carpet events. For many people, that would be the dream. But not Joanna. She'd wanted to work in a bookstore, which just went to prove that one person's dream was another's nightmare.
Ashley shifted uncomfortably. She felt as if she'd peeped through a gap in the curtains into Joanna's real world.
I suppose life happens, and then we end up taking a different path. That's what has happened to me. My mom died. I couldn't get my head around college, even if I could have afforded it, and then I got pregnant.
Ashley felt her face grow hot.
This was the moment she'd been dreading. Joanna was going to ask her about the baby. And if she told her the truth, the whole unvarnished truth, Joanna would throw her out. She felt a sense of desolation, followed by panic. She didn't want Joanna to throw her out. She wanted to stay here with the pool and the privacy and Joanna's quiet, calming company until she figured out what to do. But that wasn't the adult thing to do, was it? No one was going to come along and fix things for her. She was going to have to fix things herself. Feeling sick, hands shaking, she took a deep breath.
Joanna, there's something I need to...
Not now. Joanna lay back against the lounger and picked up her book again.
We'll talk about it another time.
But I know we need to talk. But it can wait.
Could it?
She'd braced herself, finally, to tell Joanna the truth. Was this a reprieve or an extension of torture? She wasn't sure.
Chapter 10, Melanie. Mel waited until Greg's car pulled out of the drive and then pulled a basket from the cupboard in the kitchen. She knew that if she told Greg what she was planning to do, he would have tried to stop her. If she wanted to see you, she would have called. He'd love Joanna too, of course. They'd all grown up together. But Greg was more accepting of the fact that life was complicated and people changed. He didn't need an explanation for everything, but he didn't understand how it felt to lose a friendship that she thought would last forever. Mel,